Ed Hervey joins us. Ed, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jay?
Good. I noticed about 20 minutes ago you guys announced Brian Ramsey is back, obviously due to the Greg White injury, which is timely for me because I wrote an article in the Edmonton Journal. I'm not sure if you had a chance to read it or not, Ed. Has there ever been any discussion seriously from the league or the CFLPA to potentially drop the amount of starters mandatory for Canadians in the CFL?
I mean, that subject has always been one of those ones that kind of gets floated, you know, at times. I mean, as far as on the league level, the league has never really shied away from having discussions about everything, but that particular one, I have yet to really hear brought up to a level where it gains any traction.
Do you think it would... I know maybe right now you might have a biased opinion because your team's decimated by injuries on the O-line, which was the area I focused on in my article, but do you think it's something the players in the league should seriously look at?
Well, first of all, I haven't had a chance to read the article, but I will, I will take a look at it for sure. But just off the top of my head, just having the discussion, the quarterback position is extremely important. You know, and player safety remains a top priority for the league at all positions. But, you know, when you really look at the, I guess, the, you know, the this conversation that we're having, and again, I don't want to step on toes and don't want to say anything that'll get myself in any trouble, and because I'm still, you know, I got to get more knowledge on what the article was about. But that said, you know, I know the league spends a lot of time on player safety. I know the CFLPA talks a lot about working with the league on player safety and all, you know, all issues or all situations that allow for player safety to improve should be discussed, regardless of, what topic it is. You want to make sure that it's discussed and there's a conversation about it. And if it can help improve those areas, then great.
Basically, the gist of the article, Ed, was due to all the injuries at the O-line and just the fact that depth of the Canadian pool across the league, when you add in 29 new Canadians last year due to the expansion draft of Ottawa, you just don't have enough depth. And so when injuries occur, now you're putting players on the field who just aren't ready yet to do it because you can't put imports on the field due to the having to have seven starters.
I get your point. So, yeah, we would never want to put an underdeveloped player in a position to be unsuccessful to perform the job, especially at a position as important as protecting the quarterback, regardless of nationality. You never want to put an underdeveloped player in that position. And again, I don't want this to come across my end as an attack on Canadian O-linemen or anything, because there's Americans out there that can't block. But, you know, if the quarterback position is extremely important to the league and to us, you know, you want to make sure that the people in front of them are developed enough or skilled enough to protect. And then based on what I'm hearing from your conversation, you're talking about the pool of players. Well, I mean, that's a fact. There's not a large pool of Canadian players to choose from that are on the street like American players are. Again, this is not a complaint where, you know, we're saying we need more of this or less of that, but the facts are the facts that, you know, you're just not going to pick up the phone and call. You know, we were fortunate that there was a veteran at home that was on our team in Brian Ramsey, but, you know, a few more injuries to some Canadian O-linemen across the league, there's no one sitting at home waiting for that call that can come in, step right in, and play right away.
Ed Hervey, general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos, joins us. Yeah, and Calgary announced some injuries to their O-line today, a few broken legs. So it's definitely starting to become, I would think, somewhat of a concern around the league. Ed, Adarius Bowman, we know left practice yesterday, was back on the field today, but more so watching. Do you expect him to play on Friday?
We'll wait and see. I mean, that's one of those deals where he will travel. But how he feels in game, we'll see. I mean, there's the likelihood of him not playing. You know, there's that, and there's a likelihood that he could go. But, I never know how the player's going to feel. It's how he'll wake up. He gets a couple of days between now and, you know, the travel day tomorrow and then game day, see how he feels in warm-up. And, we'll see at that time.
Ed, your team right now, you know, it's early in the year. Now you're in a stretch where I think you play for the next 16 straight weeks in a row, and it's not ideal due to the bye week for you in week two and in week 20. Do you have to man your salary cap differently because you would expect more injuries when you have a stretch of 17 consecutive weeks played?
I mean, the cap is the cap, you know, and I make sure that there's ample space for us to be able to operate in the regular season schedule. And you look at injuries that you could sustain, but you can't, I'm not going to manage scared, and you can't, you know, forecast the inevitable. You know, guys are going to get banged up, and you got to be prepared for those injuries. That's why we have our practice roster guys and guys that are around here on the one game and stuff. So, but the long stretch that we have, you hope that you never have any more injuries. You hope there's no injuries across the league, you know, because our product is better when all of our top players are playing. But we also, you know, I'm also prepared for anything that should come up in the event that we do have injuries that will be within the rules of the cap.
Now, last year, the Eskimos were one of the least spending teams in the CFL. Will you be the same, or are you expecting to spend more this year?
You know, I don't really discuss what we spend. I try to make sure that, you know, I do things the right way, try to put the right product on the field, and an entertaining product, and a product that's competitive for fans to come and enjoy. And sometimes it's not about, you know, how much you spend. It's the quality of player that's on the field and what you're doing and how they're coached and prepared. So I don't think whether it's the least amount or most amount of money spent, I think it's the players and the preparation and what the coaches do and the players and all that stuff that really factors into how the how they play.
Ed, what was the Casey Rogers and Jeremy Williams, two DBs signed early in the season? Were these guys that you just couldn't get into camp? Why are they coming in now? What do you like about them?
Well, Casey Rogers was in training camp with us, and we've had him here, then we've sent him home, and we brought him back. We've had a couple of injuries, and guys banged up in practice, some bumps and bruises. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're able to have an efficient practice and be able to still have the multiple groups and allow our practice format to not be interfered with. So those guys are guys that we feel can help us. You know, Jeremy is a kid that played in Calgary. He has some games under his belt, and we wanted to have an opportunity to take a look at him while we had a few guys banged up. Anyone that comes in here, we feel that they have an opportunity to help us. It's just a matter of when they come in, their ability to adapt and understand, the terminology. And you know, when you're on the practice roster, it's make sure that every day count, because you never know when that day comes or if another injury happens at another area. The practice roster is where we make the adjustments.
Ed, what did you see in Matt Nichols' first start of the season? What did you like?
There's room for improvement. There's always room for improvement. I think what he did is he stayed within the game plan. He didn't go outside of himself. Again, he didn't have the perfect game, but I think he played as well as he could play within it. And the guys around him played well. Guys protected him. Guys made plays for him. The defense started off, gave him a lead early. The defense came out to play. And, I want to reiterate this point that the success of this team, success of the offense, is not going to rest solely on the shoulders of Matt Nichols. You know, we're total team package out there, and every player is responsible for handling their responsibilities. And for what Matt was able to do was to do what he was asked to do within those responsibilities. And, guys made plays for him. Guys were able to be in position that he needed him to be in, and I think he got into an early rhythm, which allowed him to gain some confidence. But I would expect, we're playing a very tough Ottawa team, and back-to-back games are always tougher the second time around, especially when you go on the road for the second one. And I would anticipate that they'll be, make some adjustments and try to force him out of his comfort zone. So we'd hope that Matt is able to step up and, continue with his progress, but the guys around him will continue as well.
He's in a unique situation, Ed. As you, the GM, you're always looking for this year, but you kind of have to keep your eye on the following season as well. And with Mike Riley in the fold, you know, Matt Nichols probably realizes if Mike Riley's here and healthy, then, you know, this is his team. He's the starter. This is the final year of his contract. How do you balance that when you know, looking to say, okay, we got to play maybe our young guy, and is that maybe why we saw Franklin in a little bit earlier, just to get him some reps in case Matt Nichols elects to test free agency next year?
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with his contract. Franklin is playing because you get a game like that where you have a big lead, it's vital. I call that great coaching, where the backup quarterback gets an opportunity to gain some reps that he normally would not get. You know, and I also know that Coach Jones had planned for Franklin to play some in the game, regardless of what the score was. There was some opportunities for him to play, but you also want to see Matt get into a rhythm, but. You know, all in all, anytime your backup quarterback, especially when you're the guy who's playing, doesn't have many games under his belt, you want to try to get as many as you can, because you're one play away from the backup who, at that point, hadn't had any regular game experience.
What's your evaluations on Franklin? We've seen him in the preseason, and we saw him a quarter against Ottawa, which is, I think, a lot different than the preseason because, the game's a little bit faster.
Well, I mean, Franklin's, he's got great command of huddle. He's, he's a typical quarterback that you like, a guy that, understands and has learned in the offense, has a great touch on the deep ball, knows how, has escapability, not necessarily a running style quarterback, but enough, he's elusive enough to buy time with his legs. He finds open receivers, completes passes, and the demeanor, he has the demeanor of the quarterback that you want, where doesn't get high, doesn't get low. It's just he's the kind of player that people would want to follow. But that said, he still has a way. His ways to go, as all quarterbacks do. And there's a developmental process that happens with all quarterbacks. And we've seen in recent years where a quarterback will have a big game, and everyone's talking about their Hall of Fame, and then the next game you wonder what happened. So. Everyone has a little time to go as far as their understanding of the CFL game, but we feel like with Nichols, with Franklin, and Lynch, we have a good group there to back up Mike while he's out. And we're going to do what we have to do to make it work to where we're effective on offense and find the ways to win games.
General manager of the Edmonton Eskimos, Ed Hervey, joins us. Brian Ramsey comes in, Ed, and you've got Kroshnik back, who's more of a center than a guard. Ramsey, can he play guard more effectively?
Ramsey has experience playing up and down the offensive line, and when he comes back, it's more than just having him around for insurance. He's a good vet. He's always been a leader in this room. And with Greg Woods again going down, Greg's going to be on the sixth game for the foreseeable future. Just having Ramsey there, allows us to, again, with our practice format, being able to run the two huddles with, two groups of offensive linemen. He's also a guy who's played in games, so he's reliable in that sense. And he has played guard, he has played center. So wherever the coaches choose to use Ramsey, when the time comes, if there's ever a need, we know that he's a player that we're all comfortable knowing that he can come in and step in and right away and get the job done.
Switching away from the team you work for to the team you cheer for, what did you make of the Los Angeles Lakers offseason?
As I told you before, the Lakers will continue to just build a team, and I see improvements. That's the thing, and this is the first time in a while that the Lakers were put in this position. But I would say in the next couple of years, as the West continues to age in some areas and other teams get better, the Lakers will find themselves right there in the middle of the pack, back into the postseason, and eventually we'll get one of those big-time free agents, because who wouldn't want to play on the greatest basketball organization in all of the NBA?
Well, maybe in the 80s, because the Lakers, and you even admit, they never used to build through the draft. They never even cared about draft picks. They kind of have to change their philosophy maybe and use some of them now.
I'd say that just in this particular case, the last few years, but I would say that those deals that they had, there was some uncertainty at the top of the head coach position in particular that has ran off some stars, Dwight Howard being one. Well, that trade where Chris Paul, all that stuff that happened kind of derailed the locomotive that the Lakers are, and it's put us in a situation where we're kind of on our heels, especially as a fan. But to say that they have to build through the draft, yeah, they're gonna select the players that they need to, especially if you have lottery picks. So that means you're getting quality players. But I cannot see the Lakers not landing a big-time free agent to come in and play. And those guys that didn't make the decision to come to L.A., Love and Aldridge, those guys are not big-time. They can't handle the low workload of being in L.A. You have to have shoulders like Shaq and Kobe and Magic to have that. Those other guys, they didn't want that pressure.
There is something to that at times I think people overlook is just knowing how to deal with the pressure of being the main star in a major market.
Yeah, exactly. We had a lot of fun with it during the off season, talking about the NBA and going into the draft. And when they named the list of guys, and most of the guys are trying to maximize their money too, right? So they're going to do everything they can in that aspect. But they also know in the back of their mind, The Lakers market is a lot like the Edmonton market. Very passionate fan base, understands the sport through and through, and is not going to be misled by moves that don't make any sense. Especially, and they all, Lakers fans also understand, both fans understand, that there are certain players that cannot go into that market and change things. They'll just be a name. But you have to be able to have the ability to not only come in, but to be able to impact, make an impact. And, because when you come in as a free agent, the expectation is you're going to win a championship. And I think some of those players who turned down the Lakers probably deep down inside felt that they couldn't do it on their own. So they went and joined other players, which seems to be the trend of the NBA these days.
Ed, always good to talk to you. Best of luck in Ottawa.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.